always that he stays at the Hilton, you know, and everybody comes early to his meetings and fills up all the seats, and, you know, it doesn't always work like that, does it? And everything give thanks. We're to be thankful people. I like this one out of Revelation. Amen. Blessing and honor and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. I like that. And then this one is out of Ephesians. I have a new pair of glasses because I lost my other ones. Got these at Walmart. Okay. They do. It's a new number, too. Paul is saying kind of the same stuff. Okay? He's saying, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And the next verse has to do with being Spirit-filled. So part of the Lord's will is to be filled with His Spirit. Then he goes on in the next line, speaking to one another. That's each other, in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. This is Thanksgiving weekend. You know, that's where we are today, okay? Giving thanks always for how much? All things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Yeshua HaMashiach. Well, that's kind of a happy kind of a verse, isn't it? I mean, giving thanks for all things. We're to get together, and he said do that as a group. Okay, this is giving thanks together, as a community, doing it with each other, singing together, psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks. It's a group kind of a thing. Well, it was Thanksgiving weekend, and of course, everybody in Texas goes to church. Everybody goes to church in Texas. All right? There's a church where Terry and the family go that was started 10 years ago by a man that had rebelled against his calling, left the ministry for about 10 years. The Lord snagged him and hauled him back, reeled him in, and via a home Bible study, which he began to go back and teach the word, now the church is like thousands of people. And we're in Quitman, Texas. Quitman is not, okay, what you do is you go to Tyler, you go to Lone Hill, then make a left and go to Tyler, make a right, and then you go to Sulphur Springs, and you go through the little blinking light, make another right, and go about 40 miles to Quitman. That's where it is. That's how far out it is. And this place has thousands of people there. Okay, it's pretty amazing. Anyway, so what you're hearing a little bit is a few things I'm thankful for. And then we're going to hear from some of you if you want. But it was nice when Tikva, my granddaughter, came and said, I learned something today, this morning. I said, what's that? She says, the right way to say Thanksgiving. I said, the right way? She says, yes, it's thanks living. That's right, huh? That's actually, that's a Hebraic thought process. It's the hearing and the doing. If you don't do it, it's nothing. Thanks living. You live a life of thankfulness. I thought that was nice. Well, a couple of things I want to share with you that I was thankful for. Okay, first of all, when you sit at Terry's table, it's a great big table. There's lots of kids. Lots of kids. But the meals are not like quick, because the meals consist of Bible reading, Bible study, scripture memorization, singing. It's quite some time before you actually get to the food. And then you do more stuff after that. And that's all the meals. I'm thinking, where'd she get this? Okay. And I'm sitting there thinking, there's a verse that I don't have written down that talks about there's no greater joy, if this is a paraphrase, there's no greater joy than to see your children walking with the Lord. And here I sit there. I'm the pastor, right? And I'm not leading anything. And here are these kids just tuning into the Lord, and they pray, and they sing, and then they have question time. Abigail's getting ready to go to church, right? And she has her memory verse, right? No, wrong. She has her memory chapter. She memorizes chapters at a time. And I said, do you have, she quotes it. She memorizes chapters at a time. I'm thinking of saying, thank you, Lord, that I can sit here with my grandkids who are doing it, and they love it. And they love it. And they share, and they ask questions that are good questions about the Bible. It's not, you know, can I be excused? They're really into it. I was really thankful to see that. So I did something right in my past once, way back there, because this is kind of the next, you know, the next generation. They're doing the right stuff. And that was neat. Something else that blessed me is that she invited a bunch of people over for Thanksgiving, as you should. They brought tables in from the garage, and we had a large group. And we ate well, but after we ate, the little fellowship time was not quite what I expected. They were going to have a worship time. So we're actually the size of a small church, just that family, okay? So we came into the living room for a worship time, and y'all came right back. I was only there for a week. I got it down. Remember that Rick and Terry, about a year and a half ago, adopted two boys from Liberia? Okay? Well, Adolphus, somebody had loaned him a guitar, and he's leading us in worship. I'm looking at this, and I ask, well, and he's doing really good. And so I asked, I said, has he had any lessons on the guitar? They said, yeah, three half-hour lessons. I said, yeah, that's it? He's leading us in worship? My gosh, talk about anointing and gifting, but his desire is to be a worship leader and a teacher of Scripture. And to be there when these kids are leading us in worship, really, I was really sitting there being thankful. But you know what? This is neat to see. Here are these two kids from Liberia, come to a strange land, a strange family, a strange language, and he wants to be a worship leader. And he's doing it. He's doing it. Well, that blessed me. That blessed me. So I was blessed with that spiritual connection. Well, something else I did, and this is a minor miracle, especially in a church like this. Okay, they have a brand new pastor. He's been there 2 weeks. Okay, think about this. 2 weeks, right? So Terry has been inviting the assistant pastor and the youth pastor. The youth pastor is older than me. That's cool. That's neat. That the youth pastor is older. They've been having Shabbat dinners on Friday nights, and Terry's been teaching them about us on Fridays, and they like this stuff, right? So she calls the assistant pastor and says, well, you know, my dad's coming, and he might have something to say about some of this stuff. And so they've been learning about Shabbat a little bit. So he comes up with a good idea. By the way, they have church on Wednesday night. Thanksgiving week, they cancel it. I would not have done that. I would have had it and been, you know, thankful stuff. And so they said, well, let's have a meeting on Tuesday night when nobody comes anyway. And here's the topic that they assigned me. They assigned me a topic. The topic was things I don't know because I'm not Jewish. But I can do this. How long do you want me to talk? Now, they start exactly on time and end exactly on time. They gave me 2 hours. So we started exactly on time, but we didn't end on time because they wanted to keep going. And the place was packed. It was a big, big turnout. And they came with their notebooks and pens and their Bibles, and boy, they're taking in every word. This was fun. This was fun. And so we got into looking at things that are Jewish idioms and things that if you understand the context properly, it just really comes to life and it deepens. And they're getting it. They're getting this one. And I'm rolling along. I'm really having fun. So then we get to the question time. Now the brand new pastor's sitting right here. Okay, the assistant, the whole staff is there, right? Brand new pastor, right? Now he doesn't know me from anybody. And he's letting me do all this, right? I don't have a clue about his background at all. So the people in there getting it start saying, you know, whenever you have a question time in a foreign place, you're on thin ice. And the question started coming like, see, the topic was not the feasts. That's next time. I'll tell you about that in a minute. But all of a sudden, the questions are, they're saying, and it's not a question, it's an observation. They said, you know, from all that you've said, I think we should be celebrating all those feasts. I'm thinking, yes. Yes. How can we do that? I can help you. And so the questions went kind of that direction on not, well, that's nice to learn about these notes. How can we do these things? We need to do this stuff. We need to do it here. And so I started talking about reaching out to Jewish people. Remember where equipment is? It's, you go to Lone Hill and make, okay, equipment, right? Now, the nearest Jewish people are probably in Dallas. In fact, the largest Messianic congregation in the U.S. is in Dallas, all right? And Ted Pierce lives in Dallas. So I'm thinking, we're a long way from any Jews, right? And in fact, the only people who are of color in this whole gigantic church are Terry's two kids from Liberia, all right? That's how far out we are. And so I was explaining how to reach out, and the concept is to bless Jewish people, to bless them. To bless, be a blessing to them. I bless those that bless you. So, hang on to that thought. I'm getting there 1 second. At the end of the meeting, I gave it back to the pastor. And he got up and he says, you know, he said, I'm telling you right now, we are going to have a Passover Seder in this church at Passover this year. He didn't say Easter, he said Passover. At Passover, we're going to have a Passover Seder. Yes. So they're getting it. And we're going to help them with all the info on how to do it. So we're all done, right? And so we're in equipment. Down the aisle came walking toward me a Jewish woman. If you stereotype, that's it. Okay? And she's crying. She came up, and you know, the opening line was, and she grabs me, and she's crying. And she says, do you mean that I can stay Jewish and believe in Yeshua? She said, Yeshua. And I said, yes. And she said, my family, her family's Orthodox on her side, and she married a Baptist, and he's Baptist. And he's the one that's telling her you can't be Jewish and believe in Jesus. You convert. She's never been taught anything that we believe, but she doesn't like that concept. She says, you mean I don't have to convert? I said, no, don't do that. Be the best Jew you can be, but believe in the Jewish Messiah, prophesied about by Jewish prophets in a Jewish book in a Jewish land. And she said, you don't know how good that makes me feel because I don't know what it is, but I have to stay Jewish. I said, yeah, I know exactly what it is. I know what it is, okay? I do know this. So we had a good talk, and in the course of the conversation, we realized that she's not yet a believer, and she confesses that. And so the people who brought her are saying, take your time, you know, take your time, we'll be there back, just take all the time you need. And she's weeping and weeping and all, and we're realizing that the Lord is speaking to her, okay? And he's saying everything that we believe, but nobody's affirming it. There's nobody back there. She's seeing it. And then it came to the point, I asked her, what is hindering you from taking that step? And then I learned that she is a believer. But the step is making it public. Okay, that's the step. And she says, my family's going to kill me. You know, how do I tell them? How do I tell them? So that is a toughie. And her husband is a major problem too. So I met with him. I gave him some CDs. We're still going to be in communication. He's moving very slowly. But see, sometimes our Christian friends are our worst enemies because they were thinking conversion and changing religion. No. No, no, you stay Jewish. Romans 9, 10, 11. And so I pulled the Jacob Weinberg trick on her. I said, I'm betting 1,000 on this one. I want you to know 1,000 every single time it works. I said, I want you to pray with me. And you pray that God does something for you that is so dramatic, miraculous, and clear that you know that you know that you know you are hearing from him. It might be even a physical touch, an audible voice, or something you see, a vision, a dream, something that's so dynamic that you know he's speaking to you. See, we did that with Jacob back in at the Armstrong building. Jacob came to me after a service. He said, you know, it all makes sense. Everything you say, all that you do, it all makes sense. But he says, I don't know how to take it. I don't know what to do. So I prayed with Jacob that prayer. I said, okay, well, let's do this. That God does something for you that is so dramatic that you know he's speaking to you, and he's telling you that Yeshua is the Messiah. It's okay to take that step. And so you all know the rest of Jacob's story, right? It took him 2 years. Took him twice, two doses of ladybugs, okay, on that one. So she prayed that. And then what she said to me was, she said, I believe in him, okay, but it's the problem of making it public on how I do that. And then she went on to say, oh, and I'm starting to come on a regular basis to your daughter's home. All these people for some teaching on homeschooling. So there's a link that will continue. I gave her a pile of stuff. We're going to be staying in touch. So be praying for Andrea, and that her husband's eyes are open, please. Also, the lady that owns the Christian bookstore down the street came to me, and she says, okay, help me set up a messianic section in the bookstore. He's in Quitman. I said, okay, we can do this. So we did that, and I'm staying in touch with her. And she's going to be in touch with Barry Rubin and get the stuff from Messianic Jewish Resources. They just have a brand new catalog. You should have gotten yours in the mail about a week ago. So what's neat to me was that I had a little opportunity, okay, and they got it. They got it, and they want more. And so you who are here, who didn't go, who allowed me to go, there was a link and a touch to that congregation. And life, okay, was imparted. They want to know our perspective. And they want to bless Jews. And I told them that Ted Pierce lives in Dallas, and he'll come for free to your congregation, especially for your teens. So they're going to have Ted Pierce come, and he's going to come for free, okay? So thank you for your prayers. I appreciate that. I appreciate that. And whenever I'm back again, whenever that would be, we're going to do a series. It was going to be like a four-day series on the feasts next time. So keep that in prayer. That was neat. All right. I was thankful for all that stuff. It spoke to me. Connections were made. I like that. Now, in a little bit, in fact, maybe now, if any of you would like to share anything, my message is flexible today. Would like to share anything, any blessings that the Lord has been doing in your life in recent times, things he's done for you, given you, spoken to you about. Because we're supposed to share that stuff with the community, see what's going on, what's happening in the body. Anybody want to share anything with all of us? I have a microphone right here. I'd like to hear from you. Thank you for that email. It really spoke to me. Thank you.
I was just thinking about this morning, how grateful I am for every one of you in this place. And you're my family. It's so different when you have a husband who loves the Lord, but just doesn't see things the same way you do. And it's just so neat to come here and worship and praise and just get together, and maybe we don't all get to talk as much as with others, but I love you all, and I'm just thankful for you all.
Thank you. We're glad you're here. You've been here a long time, haven't you? When did you first come here?
In April of 93.
93. Good. Anybody else want to share? Because I'd like to hear from some of you. Mary Jean, we're praying for Chuck.
Well, that's what I'm thankful for, is all your prayers. I really appreciate it. I know the Lord's giving me strength, and Chuck is getting better. The infection's cleared up for now. He sees the bone doctor Monday, and we just need to get the house ready for him. So he'll be coming home probably a week or two. So thank you very much for all your prayers.
We're going to pray for Chuck. Lord, I just want to lift Chuck up to you. And I thank you that in the midst of this infirmity, in the midst of this trial, he smiles, he praises you, he doesn't complain. Lord, I pray you'd touch him and bring healing to him. Lord, I pray that all of us would continue our commitment to lift him up in prayer. And our prayer is total and complete healing and restoration, life to be imparted to him. Yes. I thank you, Lord, that in this condition, I would not be good here, but I thank you that he is not complaining about it, but he's praising you. Lord, touch him physically and emotionally and spiritually in Yeshua's name.
Thank you.
Okay, somebody else. Doris. You know, I got to say one thing before I give you this mic.
Okay.
I like that right voice. I am really thankful for you. You know that? You have blessed me no end just by being who you are. And by your faithfulness at this congregation, and I thank you.
You're welcome.
This past Thanksgiving was a very special time for me. My children were a long way away. My 2 by birth and my 9 by adoption were all in different parts of the world. And so I had 2 very, very special people that wanted to enjoy the fellowship. And that was Monica and Janice. And they came to my house. And we had a very, very blessed Thanksgiving. We started off with each of us giving our thanks in our own way to our Yeshua for all of you and for our families and for the different things that we felt that we were so blessed with. We had an absolutely joyous day. We ate and ate and ate and then ate some more. We brought the dessert today because we didn't eat it the other day because we were so full. But
it was... Brought some here today?
It was...
You brought dessert here?
Oh, yes.
Oh, good.
Thanks to Monica.
I'm thankful for that. Yeah.
And we made a decision that we were going to do this more often. And we also made another decision that hopefully will be taken joyously as we want to give it. And I want you to know that I'm thankful that with all of the wonderful people that I have gotten to know here, that not just because I think I'm probably the oldest one in this congregation, I don't think there's anybody here that's older than I am. Is there?
We're not going to challenge that.
I don't think there is. That I have been blessed with so many young people, and what is a joy is that we talked about all of our young people that are dancing, and they are a special joy to all of us, and we express that. And for those of you that are the dancers in this group, and particularly with Dolly, we want you to know that we really blessed you, because you have been a guiding light for all of the young people, and it's just great, and to know that they have been, they represent our whole congregation when they go outside of here. And when they do that, we are all blessed by people blessing them. And that's really special. And to all of the people that are part of the dance group, whenever you go, you are showing that we may be a small community, but we are blessed with the people that we have. And no matter what size this group gets, smaller or larger, we are all blessed because we have this. There are lots of things that we would like to see change. There are lots of things that we would like to see get better and better, but we do appreciate all of you, and I thank you. And I thank you all for letting me be here. Thank you.
Along that same line, I wanted to express my appreciation for our teens. Last Saturday's service was one of the best services I've ever been in my life. It really was. I mean, there were a couple of things that spoke to me that gripped me dramatically. You're going to be doing that play in other places. Okay, that play was amazing. Thank you, guys. Okay, anybody else? Yes, ma'am.
Well, I'm most grateful for just about everything. I can't even tell you how many things. I'm grateful for my husband who even allows me to do all the things I do in this congregation, even on Thanksgiving night. I wasn't ready to go home and put the kids to bed. I wanted to talk to my mom and my sister and my aunt who'd come from far away, and he allowed me to, and he took the kids and put them to bed for me, and we were up till about 11 o'clock, and I was able to share with my aunt, literally I didn't realize I was doing this until it happened, but the whole salvation message through the fact that my husband had just learned in the last 2 years where his roots came from in the as a Jewish person, and his grandfather, and there's a whole story behind that, but I was able to share with her, and she goes, well, how does that work? And, you know, well, are you Christian, or are you Jewish, or what are you, you know, about this congregation? And so I was able to tell all that. I says, well, we believe the same thing that Christian Church does in salvation. So I went through the whole entire plan of salvation with her. She didn't even know what hit her. And she had ridiculed me for years about being too religious. So the fact that I was even able to share this with her was an incredible thing. And I'm grateful for my family and the way God has designed my family in a very unique way. I'm just grateful for a lot of things. I'm grateful for my congregation here, my family here, and how loving and wonderful so many people have been, Jerry and Bob and all the different people, when it came to moving to the new congregation in just about a month. that in about 5 or 6, 7 weeks, my daughter is going to be bat mitzvahed for the first time in the new building. And they were so grateful. I mean, not grateful. They were so loving and kind to me, knowing that I'm a planner. And they were constantly keeping me in the loop of, we're going to get a place. Don't worry. It's going to be really good for your bat mitzvah. And Jerry, you know, designed the whole, you know, floor plan for me so I could start planning in my head, because I'm a visual person like Susan is. And so it just blessed me so much that you guys care that much, you know, about those little things that are big to me. And thank you for everybody and all the things that you guys do with everything that you do. Thank you.
Thank you for all that you do, by the way. On my flight from Orange County to Dallas, who do you think sat next to me on my left? Who do you think sat there? No, she was on the right. She gets the window seat. That's a different story. But how do I know who this guy is? On his cell phone, right? When you're not supposed to be on your cell phone. Who's on their cell phones when they're not supposed to be? Israelis are. And he's speaking Hebrew, and I'm looking at him like I know what I'm talking about, because I did. I understood him. And so I said, where are you from in Israel? How did you know I was from Israel? Well, okay. So I said, I used to live 6 kilometers from you in Migdal. Oh, I know people in Migdal, blah, blah, blah. Okay, now what do you think the next part of the conversation might be? Or what were you doing there? Why was it teaching Christians their Jewish roots? Oh, really? Anyway, interesting conversation. What do you do for a living? So that one comes pretty quick. And it was met with a favorable response, okay? Unlike what you've been told, most Israelis think we're okay, okay? And we have a right to believe what we believe, and we're okay because we love Israel, we love the Lord, and we love the Scriptures. A little difference on who the Messiah is, but you know what? But most Israelis think we're okay. Well, it was a fun conversation. Okay, somebody else. It's either you or my sermon. You'll be out on time because it's a flexible sermon. They're not always like that, but this one is.
Hi.
Hey. I'm thankful you're alive, actually.
I don't know where to start, so that's... I know.
The sound man speaketh.
The sound man's married to me. He can wait. I just have so much that I'm thankful for. I don't know which ones I'm supposed to share, so I'm trying to figure out. Hi, Paul. Okay, I'll start with Paul. I'm thankful for my teens because they're amazing and wonderful, and Bob already talked about them, and Doris already talked about them, so I don't have to talk about them too much, but I love all of you. I'm thankful that I'm alive, because it's been a year or so, and I'm mostly thankful that I have hair again. That's really good. I'm thankful for my husband. Beverly already said that, but I'm going to, you know, follow after, because he was there for me the whole time. He's been my rock. He's my reality check, because I'm a visionary, and so I look out and go, ooh, let's do that. And he says, okay, but how are you going to get there? Don't like that so much. But I've come to realize that it's necessary. And so for all of you who are dreamers and visionaries that are married to realists, that's important, because they actually will help you get there, instead of being disappointed. So that's an encouragement for you. I'm thankful for my friends and my family that are here, some who have become family through their friendship. And you all know about my friends, so I don't have to talk too much about them because you all know who they are. Mostly, I'm thankful for the leadership here at ADOT and the awesome teaching that we have, the awesome heart of our worship leader who, you guys don't know, this guy works his butt off all week and then he has to put together a worship set and he stays up. Usually we get it around midnight to 2 o'clock in the morning Monday night so that we can start working on it for Tuesday. So I'm really thankful for him and for John and all the people on our worship team who really, we really work hard, you guys. We really do. Sometimes the enemy gets in there and he tries to make it look like that's not true, but it is. Anyway, lastly, most importantly, I'm thankful that the Lord took somebody like me who was unworthy and dirty and unkind and didn't like people a whole lot. Really didn't. I used to say my motto when I was a teenager was, I love mankind, it's people I can't stand. And then he turned me into who I am now. And actually he showed me, no, I didn't turn you into this person. This is who I created. And this is who the enemy had quenched and dirtied and kicked around until that's who you thought you were. But really you're not. You're who I created. And so I went, cool, I can be that person. And I can live my life loving people and knowing that even if they don't love me back, it's okay. Most of them do, though. I have found that the more you love people, the more they love you back. So my encouragement to all of you is love one another. Don't gripe. Don't complain. Don't backbite. Don't judge. Just love each other because we all have our faults. We're all growing, and we all have our areas where other people will look at us and go, I don't like how she does that. So what? Love the parts you do like, because then you'll see that the parts you do like outweigh the parts you don't like. And that's the coolest thing about being with the Lord. So my most thankful part is that he loves me. And no matter what I do and no matter what I don't do, he still loves me. And that gives me hope because I know I can be better because of that.
Good. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? Okay, you're next. We'll just refer to you as Sarah's mom.
Hi, Bob.
Hi.
I guess I'm the first guy in here then this week. We're the guys. Anyways, I want to thank God first, you know, for the opportunity to be here. And I'm just grateful, me and my wife, that, you know, every day for us is basically Thanksgiving. Basically, it's not just yesterday or, you know, just once a year. And I just like to say that I'm grateful that we have this ADOT family. And as you're all aware that, you know, my wife and I have lived at great distances. I mean, we used to live in Ventura and we would come in here. And we now live in San Diego and we'd still come over here because you guys know that, you know, just to let you know, you guys are family for us. There's not any other congregation or group that I could feel that sense of belonging. You know, every time Lori and I would come over here, you know, we would just feel that loving spirit that's in this place. And I just like to encourage all of you, you know, to just hang in there. You know, don't look at the minuses, but look at the pluses of what you have. I mean, this is great. This is a great congregation. And just from the bottom of our heart, you know, Laura and I just love you guys. And thank you so much.
Thanks, Jose. Thank you. Okay, Sarah's mom. I tell you what, we're thankful for your daughter. She's been a real plus to this congregation.
Okay, I want to just keep this short. A lot of you know us through Sarah, and we know you, and we come about once or twice a year. And we have very much to be thankful for, and especially for ADOT being there for Sarah. And I want to share something that happened this spring, and it made me think of it when you were sharing about the feast and the Jewishness of our Christian roots. My kids know that I hate surprises. I hate surprises. And what they did to me is my other daughter, Rachel, and her husband, Jim. He is a youth pastor down in Oceanside, and she works with high schoolers. And every year we try to make it for Easter to go hear him preach on Easter Sunday. Well, we were going down, and when we got to Rachel and Jim's, and they said, we got to pick up somebody at the airport. And they're always involved with their church, and they're always doing something for somebody. And we said, yeah, go ahead. We're going to go to bed, because it was like 10 o'clock at night, whatever. And they go, no, you have to come. And that look was that they surprised me, and Sarah was coming home from Israel after being gone almost a year and a half. And what they did, they know what makes me happy and what I love. They had planned out the first annual Passover Seder dinner at their church. And people came, what, almost 100 people? And Sarah led it.
Oh, cool. And, Sarah, way to go, Sarah.
And it was wonderful because people learned about the Passover lamb. And it was because we can remember when we first met you and all that. And I look back on that, and what a surprise. And it was a beautiful blessing where we knew what to do for the Passover dinner. And people were just, we pray that it'll be an annual thing. So, hallelujah.
Thank you.
And just thank you for your encouragement to her while she was gone in Israel. You guys were a blessing to her. And I appreciate it as her mom, as her Ima.
Thanks. Anybody else? Tali. Have to stand up.
Do I have to? It's a rule. So I just wanted to say that this Thanksgiving, I went to LA to see my family. Most of you know they all live in LA, that area. So I went up to see my dad's side of the family, and my sister came back from Boston University, and she's on painkillers right now because she had her braces tightened, but she's looking really good. And my stepdad was there as well, David Price. Most of you know him. I'm just thankful for my family, for my sister. I've seen a dramatic change in the past year and a half since she moved out of my mom's house, and I'm just really grateful for her that she's becoming my baby sister again. Mm-hmm. And just keep praying for her. She changed her major from electrical engineering with like an emphasis on the performing arts aspect of it, and she changed it to history and archaeology. So just pray for her that the Lord speaks to her through that. And she's 17 right now, and she'll be 18 in April. And pray for my grandma and my aunt as well. I was able to share with them a little, like a week ago, about Messianic Judaism. And they think I'm a part of a cult, but, you know, what can you do? So just pray for them. My family is Jewish, so add that little thing in there. I'm really praying for them. I really love my grandma and my whole family, and I'm just hoping that they all can see that Yeshua is Jewish and he loves them too, and God is real, and you can have a relationship with him and you can talk to him. And so please just pray for my family. And I just wanted to say that I'm really grateful for all of my family, blood family, not blood family, you guys, everybody. I'm really thankful for all of you and for the support that you've given me over the past few years. It's been a real transition for me. So I'm still going through it, transitions, but I'm really grateful for all of you and for all the support and encouragement. I'm really grateful.
Thank you. Thanks. Anybody else? Oops. Okay. Well, I almost said stand. I will in a minute. That doesn't mean we're done, okay, when I say stand. So just know that. Okay, get ready.
Good morning, everybody. Well, I want to first of all thank God because this month he helped me move. Out of the blue came an opportunity for me to move to a larger and less expensive place. Leave it to him. I wasn't looking. But just with my back issues and everything, I just said, please, Lord, I don't want to like throw my back out or whatever, but I'm thankful. I have actually muscle pain, which is good. But I'm really thankful that that move is over and he took me through it. I grumbled a lot because there was so much to do. But anyway, he still loves us and me. I also really want to thank him for his patience with me, and he's trying to change me, and he's been trying to change me ever since I can remember, probably. But just some really major changes at this time, and I'm not always faithful to him, and he still loves me. And I want to learn of that love, and I want to learn to give it more. And I'm really thankful that he sees me as the way he sees me, and not the way I see myself or other people see me. So I praise him for that. Thank you, Lord.
Thanks. And Mary Ann, you have to come back next week, because that way you'll hear a real sermon. This is a better sermon than what I had anyway. All right. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. There is a biblical call to worship from the scriptures, from the heart of God, from his heart. He speaks. You can read it in 30 seconds. Isn't that good news? Because we'll be out of here on time, right? Okay. It only has 86 words, but in those 86 words, there's 37 major instructions about worship, exhortations, statements about praising God. Turn to Psalm 100. Psalm 100. It's right in the middle of your Bible. Let's all stand as we read this together. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us, and not we ourselves. By the way, that's a mistranslation. I'll tell you in a minute what that really says. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, and his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. Yes, this one included. Please be seated. Make a joyful shout unto the Lord. It starts off with joy. You know, when God calls us to worship, it's supposed to be kind of fun. That's the biblical term for fun. It's to be enjoyable. It's to be fun. Being with Yeshua was fun 2,000 years ago. Those guys had a good time. It involves joy. Worship isn't something you talk about. Isn't something you intellectualize and come up with definitions. Worship is something you do because it's a verb. It's a verb. You do it. In this case, there's audible, joyful expression of worship and praise unto the Lord, and it should be fun. Serve the Lord with gladness. See, that's fun part again, okay? Some people think it reads, serve the Lord with sadness. Doesn't say that. Serve the Lord with gladness, with gladness. You see, they think reverence is this. It's not. It's a lot more than that. Serve can be translated worship. Worship and serving are the same word. It's a joy to serve him. It's a joy to worship him. It's an honor to serve him. The highest honor there is. And you know what? I got to add this for me. This is for me. It's my honor to serve his chosen people. Okay, I don't have to lead anything, but I want to be a servant, and I want to bless his chosen people with my life, with who I am. It's an honor to worship him. He's called us to do it, by the way. You have a calling in your life, a calling to worship. That's a part of the calling. He's invited you into his presence. Now, the presence of the King of Kings. Now, how are you to enter his presence? Not the way you do at the White House, okay? Because there, well, okay, enter his presence with singing, but you haven't heard me sing, Lord. Yes, I have. We come into his presence with singing, Now, there's two things when I was in junior high and high school that I feared immensely. Okay, one was getting up in front of people and talking, what I do now. The other one was singing in front of people. and praise the Lord. I don't do that. I pray, I sing with you. But entering his presence with singing, Do you know that music originated in the heart of God? God gave us a gift of music. It's to be used in worship and in praise. What blessed me was that the music my grandkids choose to listen to is worship music. It's their choice. Okay? That blesses me. It speaks to them. We enter his very presence with joy, with singing, and you have an audience with the king. You're invited to have an audience with the king. These expressions of joy in Psalm, you know, in Yeshua's time, when people came to Jerusalem, from every direction, right, Sarah? Every direction you go up. And there are the Psalms of Ascent, Psalm 120 to Psalm 134. But you sang them. When you go to Jerusalem, you sing. You sing. And we sing when we go today. We go up to Jerusalem to meet him. We sing. Know that the Lord, he is God. Knowing it's important, there's a little bit of a fine line here. We declare he is creator. We are creation. Okay? Know who he is. Know who we are. We are his creative expression. You know that we're made in his image after his likeness? Okay, we're to celebrate that. He made us with that in mind. Now, what that verse really means, the second part where it says, and not we ourselves, he made us, not we ourselves, it's supposed to read like this. He has made us, and we are his. That's what that really says. He's made us, and we are his. That means ownership. You belong to him. Verse 3 continued. It's a declaration of who we are. We are his people. You know that. We are his people. We are his sheep. The sheep, it says, of his pasture. Does that sound like Psalm 23 to you? The Lord is my shepherd. He leads me. You know, yes, we're to be in his pasture. He is our shepherd. He's the good shepherd. That word means pastor, by the way. So when somebody asks you who your pastor is, don't say me, say Yeshua. He's your pastor. He's your shepherd, I hope. He's the best one. We are sheep. We're not goats. Know that. We're sheep. Yeshua said, my sheep, possessive, hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one's able to take them out of my hand. That's good news. That is good news. Where are you feeding? Are you feeding in his pasture? The grass doesn't get any greener. It doesn't get any greener. All right? In other pastures, it might look okay. In fact, I went for a walk with Rebecca. She has this dog about that big that, how shall I put it? It's very unique looking and acting. It was a cross between, anyway, it's, so the dog went with us uninvitedly. And off to the right of this road, we were a beautiful road, there was a swamp. And the top of the swamp was solid moss. And it looked like grass. It looked like a golf course. Well, the dog thought, this is a golf course. Great. Dog went running out and disappeared. Poof, gone. It's gone. I said, Rebecca, do we have a little problem? I'm not doing CPR on that dog, okay? Just know that right now. He pops up and swims around and comes out, and he's solid green from all the moss. But he thought that was a pasture. It was a swamp. There's alligators in swamps. Okay, in some pastures that look green, you know what's out there? There's lions. There's wolves. Don't go in those pastures to feed. Where are you feeding? Where are you feeding? Who are you listening to? Who's teaching you? Are you under his care, protection, and management? Are you in his flock? I hope so. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. It's a great picture of the temple of the tabernacle. His courts with praise. We have an invitation to come into his presence. Have the audience to be thankful to him. To him. And to bless his name. Pardon me. To bless his name. A Baptist minister wrote this. I quote, just as there was the gate into the tabernacle and temple, so there is a gate that opens the worship experience, whether personal, private, or public, or corporate. The key that unlocks that gate is thanksgiving. And it's to be verbalized. You say it out loud to him and to others. I thank you for sharing that today. Thankfulness. Thanksgiving. Thankful means you're full. You're filled. to overflowing with thanks. Thanksgiving is doing it. It's a doing thing. Doing. Filled to the fullest. We're to approach him with joy, gladness. It's our honor. We've been invited to praise and to do what? Bless his name. To bless. We bless him. We bless him. We bless him. It's an action, something you do. Some people say, well, I worship God in my heart. Well, that's good. Good place to start. But you know what? The rest of you are supposed to worship him too. With all of our being. That's what the Shema is talking about. All that we are. We're to worship him with everything. That gate, that door that opens the worship experience is being thankful. Being thankful. To bless his name. The Hebrew word bless. You say, we come up with one word. It's a whole picture of things. It means to kneel. It's a picture. To bend the knee in reverence before God. It's an attitude expressed in an action. To celebrate, to praise, to be happy. He wants us to bless him. He's the object of the blessing. The word praise. You know where that word comes from? Jew. Jewish. Judah. Judah means praise. You're to be praisers. Praisers. His people are praisers of him. To celebrate, the word means extravagantly. Adoration, to magnify. To touch the strings of an instrument, to worship. The giving of thanks, the giving of an offering, the giving of glory to him. Whoa. By the way, one of Yeshua's titles is the Lion of Judah. It's the Lion of Praise. He's the Lion of Praise. Don't mess with lions, right? Thanksgiving, that word means to fully celebrate. The expression of joy and the extension of your hands. It means to lift up your hands. To freely give and honor in acknowledging with praise. Whoa. So all these worship words and terms having to do with Thanksgiving also have an outward expression. We do that with our body. You know, it's not just our thoughts. Our body, our dancing, all of these things. And the pattern of worship found in this psalm is the same exact pattern that the Lord gives us when we look at what's commonly called the Lord's Prayer. Same basic pattern. But it has to do with an attitude, okay, of the heart, the attitude of the heart. It's voluntary. You choose to do this. You choose to do it. And then it ends in verse 5, because the Lord is good. He's good. His mercy is everlasting. It's a promise. His truth endures to all generations, this one included. His truth, Yeshua said, I am the truth. We've been called, we've been invited to worship at his feet, in his presence, the presence of the Almighty God, who's identified with us because he became one of us. We've been called to worship, to be messianic praisers. We stand on the truth of God's word, on the living word, on the written word. And we're called to worship him. We're called to worship him. Worship is a verb. It's something we do. We're called to do it, to be expressors of what's inside of us and what's in our hearts. And I pray that your life, like my granddaughter said, it's thanks living. It means thanks living, that this is something you do because it's who you are. And Hebrews 13 simply says this, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is, the fruit of our lips. Giving thanks to his name. People need to hear you because you verbalize here what's in here. The guy on the plane next to me got to hear that. The Jewish lady in the congregation got to hear that. God will set up divine appointments so you can say what's in here. And you know what? That doesn't offend anybody. It does not offend people. But sometimes they say, I want that. Can you show me how I can have that? Like your play. Perfect, perfect. Thank you, Lord, that you have called us to worship. It's a part of the calling on our life. Lord, I pray we would take that serious and begin in those intimate, private, quiet moments when we're alone with you. And walk through this psalm. As we come into your presence, Lord, we'll verbally, vocally express our heart before you. Well, I thank you that you're just waiting to hear from us. And that opens the door to so many other things in worship and in praise. And finally, those divine appointments where rather than have a list of all the facts we can give to someone, we can lead them into worship, into praise before you. Lord, I thank you that's when I hear from you. It's when I'm worshiping. That's when you speak to me. Lord, I pray that we would be drawn closer to you because we're messianic praisers. We're worshipers. And we're people who have thanks living in our life, not just thanksgiving, that we live what we say. Thank you for the calling and the example. And I thank you that opening line was, it's supposed to be fun. It is supposed to be fun. Open the door of enjoyment and fun in worship and in praise. And forgive us when we look like we've been drinking sour pickle juice. I pray that our face would express what's truly in our heart. And we would shine for you. In Yeshua's name. Amen.